You are listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for everything local. Arts, food and drink, music, news, culture, tech, and politics, and so much more. Great photography as well over there at SmilePolitely.com. I'm your host, Sean, and I'm joined in the studio today by Mr. Seth Fine, the publisher of Smile Politely and the creative director of the Pygmalion Festival.
That's correct.
And Eric Bissell, who runs a lovely little website you may have heard of called Halfway Interesting. Thank you both for being in the studio with us today. Our opening track was that was by American Football. It was called
Just make up a name. It doesn't.
Five Silent Miles.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that was from a live recording back in the 90s. It was good stuff.
That's super emo.
What? That's super emo. It was. They weren't. They were one of the highlights from the Pygmalion Festival
last year. Mike was so hurt, so conflicted, he couldn't speak for 5 minutes.
Well, the 90s were hurtful and conflicting for a lot of people.
They were.
We're going to talk a bit about the election that just went down last month here in Champaign. What? Just to start us off, what are you two happy about? Regarding the election. Sorry, not just anything that you're happy about, but what are you happy about?
Let's let Eric start.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, happy mostly a lot of people came out to vote. I mean, sure, I had the people I wanted to win. But
that's so diplomatic. Oh, my God.
Hey, that's a good start. It's a good start.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you know what? When you're a political
me too.
When you're a political junkie trying to get people out to vote and trying to encourage people to get more engaged in local politics, it is really demoralizing when so few people register in the first place, and then only 20% of people will come out in a county race. That means we have to get people more engaged in taking ownership in the community. So regardless of whether you win or lose, and we're going to have bad elections and good elections, seeing huge turnouts like that, it means people were really engaged, and that's a victory for everybody. But obviously, I was volunteering on the Deb Frank Finan campaign, and she won, and I was very engaged with that and got to learn a lot. So it was a very special election night for me, especially after I've seen and been through some tough ones. It was really great to be a part of that. So that was really special for me, first and foremost.
I was, you know, wildly opposed to the Unit 4 referendum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we expected for it to be defeated again because we thought it was such a horrible proposal.
Defeat is putting it mildly, I think.
Yeah, but for it to go 70-30... you know, it's hard to celebrate something like that. That's not like something that you stand up and go, hooray, we're not going to fund schools. This is great. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm a liberal and I believe strongly in, smarter but higher taxes in different ways. And I want us to invest in education. I want that for our community. If anything that, right-leaning and left-leaning people should be able to come together on, it's like, can we just fund the education, like, at a minimum?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a hard thing for me to be excited about a defeat of the of a referendum like that. But at the same rate, we felt like the proposal on the table was so incompetent and so and lacked so much that to see it go 70-30 was like, okay, the community is really paying attention. They are really listening. Now, some of that obviously is going to have, you know, is the result of a mayoral campaign that was hotly contested that featured, three, kind of right-leaning candidates and one left-leaning candidate, the incumbent Mayor Girard. And that's probably why it was such a wide margin. But you can't mistake the idea that the community really kind of paid attention as a result of, organizations like Keep Central Central, admittedly, that I was a part of. And because the Unit 4 school board did a good job of pushing out their proposal and making sure that people knew what they were voting on. And people saw it and they rejected it pretty clearly.
Right.
So that was the takeaway for me. As I said, I was an early supporter of Don Girard as mayor and continued to support him through this election, not as vocally as I probably could have, because all four candidates I thought were good. They brought things to the table that were they were all worth reverence.
Mm-hmm.
As a liberal and as Don's friend, I wanted him to win. But I also wanted Joe to win. And as much as I didn't necessarily want Deb to win, I was also totally okay that she did. Yeah. Because she's impressed me. Because she ran such a clean campaign. Because even as a right-leaning local politician, she's talking about things that are important to the community. Absolutely. And not necessarily things that are partisan based. Right. I mean, she's talking about broadband. I mean, like, again, like education, you know, can we not make this a partisan issue? Can't I just not deal with like a stalling YouTube video, please?
That's a critical issue here.
It is a critical issue. It is a very critical issue.
So, I mean, before we jump into stuff like the referendum or specific about the mayoral election, what was unexpected about the turnout or how the election went? Anything that comes to mind that was unexpected?
Well, the unexpected part for me is that the margin of victory in the mayor race, I thought it was going to be closer. I wish I could say I knew this was going to happen. That obviously didn't happen.
Tell us for just real quick, what was the margin of victory?
It was 41-31. It was 10 percentage points that Deb beat Don Girard. And also at the same time, I was hoping that, or not hoping, but I was thinking that it was going to be about 10 percentage points potentially on the school referendum, and I wasn't even close. So my jaw was literally on the floor. And then the third thing is, also you had the incumbent board members who just lost, and they're good people. They just were on that tidal wave, and it was so those were really the three things that really stood out to me. And turnout, we knew turnout was going to be heavy, but we're talking 44% increase from the 2011 election. That's insane. And that was, I mean, it was just, wow, I can't believe this is happening while we were watching the numbers come in.
Well, I think part of that, I expected a bigger turnout, maybe not quite as much, but I think that's also because, and I'm not here to admonish Mayor Schweigart as a bad person, but I think as a result of particular positions that he took, that it was hard for a lot of right-leaning, community-minded people to get behind him in the last election, which really opened the door for Don Girard to walk in, even by such a small margin. Now, in 2015, you had four candidates that were all very capable in their own ways. Different ways, of course, but in their own ways, they were going to be able to be a good mayor. And so when you have that type of volume of candidacy, you're going to get more and more people, because Champaign-Urbana is the type of community where you can actually know people. You can know your political candidates. They're your neighbors, and they're not that far removed from your church or your playground or your school or your watering hole. And so as a result of that, we had a lot of people coming out just to support their friends. And as I wrote in Smile Politely about Don Girard, it's like, it's hard to vote against your friends, and it's hard to not vote if your friend is running. So the more people that were running, there's 10 school board candidates, there were four mayoral candidates. That's a lot of people that know a lot of people. And so that's why I think that there was such a high turnout. The thing that was surprising for me, like Eric said, was the disparity in voting for the mayoral campaign. I always was under the impression that that Don was going to win. I really, really thought that Don was going to win, and I think that this is a credit to Mayor-elect Finan and having run such a strong campaign in a very smart way. And you know, when you really examine her trajectory as a politician, you know, in some ways she's been campaigning for 20 years as a result of her time on the county board, right, and a result as her time on city council, and now the mayor's race. So she's had a long time to build up a lot of trust with a lot of people, and she's never really made any missteps. You might disagree with some of her policy issues, but you can't ever really point and say, well, you know, she's untrustworthy. You can just simply say, I don't agree with her, but that's kind of politics as usual.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with the word trust. I think trust was the probably key word in this whole entire election cycle. The issue with the school board referendum really relates to trust with the existing school board and the lack thereof, and whether or not it was trust or whether confidence or whether you want to call it, bridges not being built correctly or burned down. There was that general feeling, and I think the same thing. And so while all that's going on, having someone that you've seen for 20 years that you know certainly help Deb in that regard, plus all of her hard work, of course. So I think trust and knowing what you get, it was a big deal after everything that was going on and everything that we were seeing.
Yeah. I think so, too. I really do.
Do you think that, I mean, Champaign, the school board, is in a better position to build trust now following the election?
Absolutely. I mean, people probably didn't examine some of the recent historical context of the school board, but you know, in 2013, when it was time to negotiate a new contract salary, contract negotiations with CFT, that was a pretty significant drama. They didn't strike, but they definitely voted to strike, like 90%, mm-hmm. because the school board, even after a few years and a few contract negotiations of the teachers accepting minimal, if zero raises, Unit 4 had a surplus, a significant surplus, and they were asking for, the economy was bouncing back, and it's time to give our teachers at least, you know, some credit for having fought through that. And they made it really, really difficult on the teachers to get what they were looking for. The fact that CFT didn't endorse the referendum, mm-hmm. to me, that speaks as loudly as anything. You know, you'd think that the teachers union would be like, yeah, like we need to get our new school.
Right.
Central is a terrible facility. Course, yeah. Centennial needs upgrades. Dr. Howard is falling apart. Like, please give us the money to build new schools so we can come to work and feel a little bit better about our jobs. But they didn't endorse it. And to me, that was extraordinarily telling. Mm-hmm. And I think that the new board, you know, It's lost some very significant things to me because it's much less diverse racially than it was. And that's a problem. That's an issue. And that's something that they're going to have to combat. But I think that the new school board members are all really engaged and really ready to work on the issues mm-hmm. in a very, very focused way. And so I expect that there's going to be a lot of good work done very quickly.
So let's talk a bit about the referendum with Unit 4. Can you just... either one of you real quick sort of summarize what the referendum was about, why it was so important, and then maybe both of you weigh in on sort of the takeaway from just how significant, how disproportionate that turned out to be.
Well, the referendum, Seth, this is really your department, but the referendum was on the ballot to, $144
million? Yeah, bond $144
million. $144
million
to build a new high school out on the north side of town mm-hmm. and also address some issues with, is it Kenwood?
No, it was they were going to rebuild
Dr. Howard,
and provide $18 million in upgrades to Centennial, and then there's $14.5 million to rehab the current existing Central to create a new administration building and a STEM academy. There was good stuff in the referendum. You can't just write it off completely, but there was a lot of holes, and that mm-hmm. was the, and I think that was the big issue.
And you think that was a factor in how people voted for it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have a city growing at the pace that Champaign is, and you're essentially proposing we need to build a brand new high school on the very north end of town. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, nowhere near the center of Champaign where people live.
The core of the community.
The core of the community. And it's true, most people drive or bus anyway to high school, but we're talking about options here. We're talking about 50 years of, you know, transportation via automobile. And in the same referendum, you're proposing a very piddly amount of money to provide upgrades to Centennial, which is a 50-year-old high school. So you're going to create a massive disparity, a brand new state-of-the-art facility all the way on the north side of town, which is not where many people wanted it, and then at the same time, not provide the proper upgrades to the other high school that needs it. So now you have some students going to Central and this brand new facility, and then other students going to Centennial that hasn't been appropriately upgraded. So, of course, people are going to be like, now, wait a minute. My kid's going to Centennial. Why are we getting the short end of the stick here? Mm-hmm. And then other people are saying, well, my kid's going to Central, but I don't really want to take 15 minutes out of my day, 30 minutes out of my day, both ways to get them out there. And what if they miss the bus? I mean, what are our options here? I mean, I know that that's kind of like a dramatic way of putting it, but it ends up compounding. Mm-hmm. And that's why you had a 70-30 dismissal of the referendum.
And I have some other reasons why it failed. But Unit 4's perspective on this is that you have kids learning in trailers. They're selling a, not selling.
Those are mobile classrooms.
That's what I'm so sorry. I got to get the lingo correctly.
Not trailers. They just happen to look like trailers.
They're commuting a strong sense of urgency because this problem is obviously getting worse. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, hey, this is new. They have been working on it for a long time. They have done due diligence, maybe not to the extent people want it. They haven't tried to engage the community, maybe not with the effectiveness that other people would have liked. So people really didn't start paying attention until all of a sudden there's this referendum on the ballot, and all of a sudden this mayor candidate's starting to make it an issue and starting to form these coalitions. And that's when people started paying attention, started looking retroactively, when in fairness to Unit 4, they've been working their tails off trying to make this work. They've worked with the RPC and all these folks. So in fairness to them, they have done a lot of work. It's not like they just picked something and threw it together. There's been a lot of diligence done on this, and in fairness to them, they deserve a lot of credit for that, and that's been underappreciated, I think, in this whole conversation. So that's something that I learned while paying attention to this. Now, at the same time, when you go through that process and then you go and you buy the land without an option contingent upon the passage of this,
yeah, man,
everyone loses confidence in you. Everyone loses trust in you. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. And you start making some decisions like that, and you have the school board president on election night saying some combative and some like stir the pot type things. Mm-hmm. Politics is a game of addition. It's a game of inches. You're trying to make friends, not and build votes. You're not trying to get them away. Right. And it kind of went through, did four or five things that really got people fired up and really started hurting their own cause. And I think they could have done things a lot different and done it with a lot different attitude and been a lot more successful and prevented maybe not won it, but certainly would have prevented the disparity in the vote. It was 70-30. Wow, that's just not right.
I mean, can you call that a landslide?
That is a landslide.
So where does Unit 4 go from here? What's next? I mean, now that this referendum has been rejected
twice,
where's the community at?
Well, I certainly think that the idea that this wasn't a location-based issue can be dismissed. It was very much a location-based issue for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So Unit 4 school board is going to have to figure out where this new high school goes and whether that's the current central location and being smart about how they build next to it and renovate the existing structure, or looking at a space like Spalding and Judah and Franklin. To me, those are the two options on the table, really, that are going to gain any traction. There's some pitfalls to both of them. There's no question about it. I mean, I think that we can all agree that outside of Dodds Park, you're not going to be able to find something that a lot of people agree on, even though I was opposed to Dodds Park personally. But I would have accepted it just so we could just move on and get it done. So those are the two real options that they're going to have to look at. And as far as keeping it central, how the new board interacts with the two remaining members of the old board, Lynn Stuckey and Lori Bonnet, should be fun. should be fun to watch.
Well, my prediction, not that I'm rooting for this, I just think it's a reality. This was obviously a trust issue. So the people who are running, they're not creating the image of mistrust intentionally, but they're certainly talking about it. So it makes it worse, so to speak. So they're going to come in, deal with the same situation. In my personal opinion, I think they're going to go through the whole entire same process, get back to right back up there on the same spot, but they're going to do it.
No way. You think they're going to propose another interstate drive?
I think at the end of the day, they're going to go through the process and they're going to end up right back on interstate drive, but they're going to have to try and sell it as at least this time we engage the public, at least time we build the trust.
How could they propose it differently? I mean, given fact that, I mean, you're talking like such a massive rejection, how could they propose it differently to make up, like you said, these aren't inches you're talking about between 70-30. Like, what would be different? Like, what possibly could be different to convince people?
You need something that's on the table, that's workable, that's doable, that is imminent. And that can change in 2 years or a year and a half, and I can be wrong. Mm-hmm. So be it. I mean, I don't really have a dog in the fight here. But, you know, I mean, I just really did study the diligence. And I've studied, I mean, there's some really great ideas out there from the KCC folks. And I really think that's really great they're getting involved. But, man, there's a... That's going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort to get those. And if that happens, that's great. But I mean,
No way.
It's good. It's not science. My gut tells me it's going to end up on interstate drive.
That's a classic. No, see, to me, it's not even that. The thing that has, it's not, it's not laughable necessarily, but, you know.
I'll bet you hams on it.
I'll take that hams. All right. I'll raise you a dinner at Philo Tavern.
Fair enough.
Frog legs.
But, yeah, for me, these spatial issues that we're discussing. There's not enough space for this. What? You know, there are people who live in major cities. You know, my wife grew up in Chicago. And she looks at these, like, expansive, crazy suburban high schools as, like, what are you talking about? Like, look at Clemente High School in Chicago. Now, or look at Whitney Young, or look at these footprints. Mm-hmm. We're smarter than this. You know, we're, as a society, you know, humanity has progressed to the point where we can build in ways that are accessible and well-designed within the structure of a growing community, the 21st century model. Mm-hmm. The 20th century model got us into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. And this urban sprawl that we perpetuated for 50 years has started to backfire and people recognize it. So the right way, in my opinion, is to build up and to build with a very clear idea of how a high school engages the broader community. Mm-hmm. And so for me personally, when I look at the footprint of where Central currently is, plenty of space. Plenty of space, provided that you're building in a smart way. There's properties available around it. There's no need to exercise eminent domain. There's all kinds of options. Now, whether the board comes to that conclusion or not, like, I'm not some sort of strange prognosticator, but that's my position. Mm-hmm. And I don't really want to hear anything else. Like, don't tell me we can't build five stories up and build a parking garage. Like, what are you talking about? Like, mm-hmm. This is pretty doable. There's plenty of models around the country that have proven this. What we need is fast internet and more pay for our teachers so that they go to work and they're like, I'm really glad to be here in this job because I have a lot of money in my pocket and I feel good about teaching kids.
These are nice facilities.
These are nice facilities. I feel good about the teacher's lounge. Right, exactly. Like, if you want, like, strong education, you're going to have to make sure that your teachers are well compensated and that the building feels good to be in and they're given the proper resources to teach with. That's what's going to build a great educational system. Mm-hmm.
I think,
and I don't know if Eric totally agrees with me.
All sounds good to me.
Yeah, right.
Well, thanks both of you, Seth and Eric, for joining us today on Smile Politely Radio.
Are we done? That's it?
Yeah, that's it. We're out of time.
That was 30 minutes?
It was. It comes like that.
Time flies. We have to finish this at the Mike and Molly's and watch people shave their heads.
Exactly. And you should all head over to St. Baldrick's to support that charity. It's very important.
Well, thanks again to both of you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for everything local, from politics, news, culture, all the way down there to sports, photography, tech, food and drink. It's all there at SmilePolitely.com. You can also go to Facebook/SmilePolitelyRadio and give us a like. We would appreciate that very, very much. To finish off the show today, we're going to listen to Good Country People by Thin Gin, who you can catch next Saturday over at Mike and Molly's. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. But soon